from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Hope you had an hey, man, L. And Mike, by the way. Nice job overseas. I saw the Hey Man being posted in Europe, and people were like, Dukes, y'all are in Europe? No, we're not, okay? But Mike posted a picture because he had some with him, and we hope you had some over the weekend and joins the first official week of college football after week zero. We will talk about Georgia, Georgia Tech, and all that went down in college football as part of our strong arm story of the day. But have I mentioned it's game week?
Mm-hmm.
Falcons, Steelers, and Mike, this game is going to come down to just a few things. For us to start the season 1-0 and for us to continue to build on this confidence in the offseason that we've got, Sunday is going to be about getting to the quarterback. Now, I'm going to give you guys a ridiculous number, and you're going to be like, no, that can't be right. Trust us, it is. The Falcons are last in the NFL the last 5 years with 138 sacks. In the last 10, think about 10 years,
right.
289. That number's got to change over the next 5 and certainly over the next 10 years, but it starts this week and it starts this year. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are the most sacked quarterbacks in the league since 2021.
They hold on to it too long.
Fields has 135 sacks, Wilson 133. What I'm telling you, Atlanta, is that despite the fact that you may say, where's the pass rush coming from? And now you maybe feel better about it with Matthew Judon and the pieces that we've, you know, added via the draft. Mike, we're playing two quarterbacks, and Russell's starting, but we don't know how this game's going to go, and does Fields play? But we're facing two guys who have been the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL since 2021. Mike Bell, we got to get some pressure on these guys.
Yes, now, how does that pressure come? You'll hear Wes Durham joined us earlier. You'll hear that conversation at 6:20 if you missed it. But we talked and asked Wes, are we going to be dialing up blitzes? Because this is a 3-4 package with Jimmy Legg, maybe a 3-3-5. I mean, it could have a 3-3-3. Lots of different ways. 3-3-5 would be interesting, but a 3-5-3. But there's a lot of different ways we can come at the Steelers. But are we going to try to get it through blitzing? Now, we're going to walk up. Certainly, the linebackers, Wes mentioned, a pretty interesting idea. Are you going to see Caden Ellis or Nate Landman or Troy Anderson along with Matthew Judon and coming at you with that kind of look? Are you just going to simply say, hey, Grady Jarrett and Ruka Ro, these guys will be able to help get the pressure? That's the question. But the key is we've got to get more sacks and the Steelers get on us. To me, normally it's like turnovers wins the battle. I think sacks will tell the story this weekend.
Absolutely. And specifically if and this is, again, this is within the game, right? And we got all week to chop it up. I mean, the bottom line, Mike, is if you get a sack on second
down, there's only 3 days of this week left, Carl.
And now you make it third and long,
right,
and you put them in those situations consistently throughout the game, you can dictate a little bit better defensively what you're trying to do. And that's what I think Jimmy Legg wants to do. Listen, if those sacks come on third and long, great, you're off the field. If they come on, you know, a second down, now it's third and long for the Steelers. Those are the situations you want to put them in. So I'm with you on this.
I just think, you know, we said this all summer long as we're building up the excitement level. We have the story you just laid one chapter of, and the Falcons, from my lifetime as a fan, is just that. We just don't get consistent pressure on the quarterback. And the other thing would be, even in Matt Ryan's better years, we don't score enough touchdowns in the red zone.
No.
I mean, that's why our field goal kickers always seem to be, thank God we had Matt Bryan and Younghoe Koo.
Yep.
But we just don't seem to get the performance in the red zone. I think if everything goes right, all that changes. We talked about Pitts and Drake London. But you're right. This team has got to be able to get that heat. And that's why getting Matthew Judon, albeit for a one-year flyer, is huge. The corners, by the way, you and I spent a lot of time this offseason on that. They are satisfied. You know, I know one guy we didn't really talk much about this year was D. Alford, but he is part of the depth chart. It's A.J. Terrell. And, yes, Mike Hughes.
Mike Hughes.
They expect him to roll. Antonio Hamilton, Clark Phillips is number five technically on the depth chart.
All right. With that said, the other side of the football, and by the way, the Steelers, this Steelers team, as I see it, is not built to come from behind. If we get up on these guys, okay, again, that's not their philosophy. It's not what they want to do. It's not what they're looking to do. You're not going to see in this offense Russ throw the ball 50 times a game. If we get up on these guys, okay, it also helps the defense and what we're talking about and dictating all of those situations. So there's a lot on the offense to get going early, Mike. We don't need to wait till the second half. Let's get going early, put some points up, and force the issue with Russ, Mike, because it's something that they don't want to do. They want to play action. They want to control the ball and run the ball, and they've got an injury on the offensive line that is going to hurt their chances of being successful with that.
Right. They've got a backup guard is in there. They've had some issues in their secondary they had to address during preseason. They had to go make some moves for. I told Carl to start the show. I was at Home Depot today, and I ran into a guy. Don't know his name. I just had a Pittsburgh Steelers shirt on. Mm. And as we kept kind of passing each other at Home Depot.
They're coming out now, huh?
And you know what I said to him? I go, hey, you don't want any part of us on Sunday.
That's right.
He goes, I don't know about that. And then later on, I go, you don't trust Russell Wilson. He goes, he looks down at his shoes. No, I don't.
Yeah.
Because you're a Steeler fan. You don't know Russell Wilson from Adam. You know what he was when he was in Seattle. You don't know what he's going to do for you now.
No. Isaac Ciamalo is out for this game. He is their starting left guard. He is a really good player, and he has a pec injury. So they're going to be shuffling some guys around. It's another reason why I feel like we can get after these guys. 404-726-0929. But I've been telling you that for 2 weeks now. I am not as fearful. Okay, and I get it. Steelers are going to have a lot of fans, Mike, that show up. We got to show up. We'll be there. But I'm not as fearful simply based on I thought that this would be much more of a solid thing that I would be looking at, meaning offensive line issues solved, running backs issues resolved, the quarterback issue resolved. Mm-hmm. We had Sean Merriman on here saying, hey, probably 4 weeks from now, it'll be Justin Fields' team.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. And here's the thing. Is Arthur Smith going to run a gadget play? I'm sure Russ Wilson will really appreciate coming off the field, right, to have Justin Fields come in. But what is that? And does Jimmy Lake and Raheem Morris have a plan for you can roll them out. You can make it a design run play. But you've got to be ready for all contingencies if you are going to use that. By the way, if Russell wasn't going to finish this game.
Are you saying we're putting him out?
Well, last time we put quarterbacks out, bad things seemed to happen in that Minnesota game when Joshua Dobbs came in.
Yeah, kid don't
from BYU
me.
Started the game. We probably would have won that game had he stayed in there.
There's no way Jaren Hall can come in here and beat the Falcons on Sunday.
He shouldn't have beat us.
I mean, listen, he did beat us. We put him out, and Dobbs beat us. I was right on that.
Right.
Anyways,
technically, you were correct.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, are you saying, though, we put him out? What are you saying?
No, I'd like to see us put him out. Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah. Are you saying he's so bad that they change quarterbacks?
I mean, Matthew Judon is the kind of player we never get on this team. Grady is that guy. Grady puts the work in. You know that. He's got the attitude. But the real dude, the real headhunter, I'm going to knock you out, especially a highly motivated guy. You know, he's committed to this contract because he has to be, basically. And he's going to go to work, and he's going to be basically on a prove-it deal. Because if Jadeveon Clowney, Carl, can still get paid, Matthew Judon can still work a multi-year deal off of this season with the Falcons.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Let's hear from Justin Simmons. He says, first and foremost, he's ready to go. He's all up to date on what this team is trying to do, and he understands the scheme, etc. Guys, he's been in the league. This is just about him feeling comfortable with what they're asking him to do. But, Mike, he was asked about the Steeler quarterback situation.
Yeah, no, it won't matter, and I'm sure.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You know, knowing Coach Tomlin and how well he's done there, I'm sure that there, even if Russ goes out and start, there might be packages where, you know, Justin Fields comes in and with his ability. And, you know, Russ is a proven veteran in this league and obviously had the pleasure of being his teammate, you know, the last few years in Denver. And, you know he's going to be prepared and he's going to be ready. He's going to have those guys going. And so we have our work cut out for us defensively. And, you know, one that I think you know, we'll answer the bell with, but, you know, we got our work cut out with us. They got great receivers, great run game. So we're going to have to be able to do our thing.
Respect your opponent. He's doing that. Do you think privately he's telling these guys, Russell, man,
hey, this guy's soft. Yeah. We can take him down.
But he wasn't going to, he's not going to answer the exactly. question. Like, well, guys, yeah, spent a year there. He's a kind of a, I almost said the D word.
I got you.
To give you that.
I got you.
Right, but you said it. Respect your opponent. No bulletin board nonsense. We did find out that all the gang is back together, including number 84, Cordero Patterson, is back with the Steelers.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea if we're going to get anything's going to happen off these kickoffs? Because nobody in preseason seems to know what the hell's going on with the kickoffs. Nobody, are we going to be prepared?
Well, nobody showed anything. That's the thing. And literally, everybody was just like, let's cover it, you know? Right. And the only thing they may have experimented with is kicking it a squib, right, to force you to touch the ball and put it in play. But I said this, Mike, I'm almost like, just kick it deep, and then everybody's like, you're giving up great field position. I don't know if we know how this is going to play out. Real quick, the Falcons do sign another quarterback, by the way.
Yes. Now, it's funny, we were literally just talking about him the other day, Nathan Peterman. No, not Jay. That's right, Elaine, I'm Jay Peterman from Seinfeld. Now, I guess because he's been around the league so very often, and they had the chance to make the move to trade. By the way, that went down. What was the reaction on that? Anybody give a flip about Heineke getting traded to the Chargers? Conditional pick?
Well, the argument only was did you get enough? Or should you have held on to him and maybe mid-season, force the issue?
Right.
Yeah, when teams might have been more in need.
Seventh or sixth round pick, right?
Conditional, okay. Yes.
But anyway, Peterman's been around the league everywhere. He's, you know, he's kind of like a lowercase, you know, Brian Fitzpatrick. He's played for everybody. But he'll be the emergency quarterback, I suppose. But and he's coming a lot cheaper, obviously, than what you had. You had Heineke on the contract.
Yeah.
Who's the sausage king in Ferris Bueller?
That would be Abe Froman.
Abe Froman.
You're Abe Froman?
The sausage king.
King of Chicago? Yes, I am. Hello, Mr. Froman. Did Cameron gets on the other
phone.
That's
right. That's right.
Mr. Froman, this is Sergeant Peterson, Chicago PD.
That's it.
What
yes.
seems to be the problem?
Oh, great stuff. All right, man, we're coming back. Strong arm story of the day. Here's the deal. They look great. The quarterback admitted he had nerves in the first half, but they outcoached and outplayed the team that now everybody says something is fundamentally wrong. Mm. Mike's team is done, and also one of our local teams is in the top 25. All of that is on the way next.
Story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
College football led the way all weekend long. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Glad that you're listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Here's the deal, Mike. Georgia was dominant, but it was in the second half specifically. This was a 6-0 game at halftime, and yet they were able to take control of the game. The final was 34-3. And Clemson fans are scratching their heads this whole weekend.
I know you were at Mercedes-Benz. Was the mood ugly with Clemson fans?
Ugly.
It became a complete beatdown. Because I thought, you know, it was funny because, you know, the whole snafu, we'll talk more about it tomorrow when Guy Talk, but the whole snafu with ESPN and Disney right now with DirecTV. Ironically, I was able to watch the game in Milan on my phone, stream it, come back, and then, you know, of course, TV deals kaput. But watching it, it just seemed like it was a physical game. It was almost like you could sense the pride in the upperclassmen, the defense, you know, certainly from Clemson. But at the end of the day, the superior talent and the depth wears through and wore them out and shone through. I just thought that it was I wouldn't call it a great day for Carson Beck. I think there's some throws he'd want back. So I think there's enough for Kirby to be able to say, you're not elite yet. I mean, if you want to get that Heisman, but it's a good performance in the first week where there's always a little bit of rust and sloppiness.
I totally agree. And here's the deal with Carson. If he hit on some of these plays earlier in the first half.
Right. But could be like 21-14-0. Right.
And he could have had over 350 yards. I truly believe that. But when asked about it, here's what he said, and I love his honesty. First half, and he looked it a little nervous, Mike. A little nervous.
I think just coming out in the first quarter, maybe there's a little bit of nerves. Maybe guys were just trying to, you know, get warmed into the game. Well, I mean, once we got in that second half, you know, looking at the iPad, seeing what they were doing against us, I mean, it was everything that, you know, we saw on film that we watched from last year. So, you know, we just kind of deciphered which ways that we wanted to attack them and maybe try to be a little bit more aggressive coming out at the half. And
yeah, I felt like, again, Mike Bobo and the offensive staff did a great job of adjusting and, you know, they started making plays and calling plays that set up other plays.
Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And then, you know, Beck made the throws he needed to make. But the defense, Mike, here's the deal. And we're going to talk about Georgia Tech as well because they went against Georgia State 35-12. Dogs remain the number one team in the country after a beatdown of Clemson in their opener. But they held Clemson 188 yards, Mike, and a field goal the entire game.
Right, and you did it without Michael Williams for a big part of the game because of a dirty hit. Now, the shot, you can't do that anymore in college football. It never passed the eye test anyway, not to square up and try to make contact with the defender. But anyway, the film off a hit, you know, it was, I thought it was just nasty. The good news is you got a weaker opponent this week, so they can rest him. And there were some other guys that were banged up. But the defense, you're right. We talked about it. You mentioned Malachi Starks earlier. I mean, just
amazing.
Huge. The other thing, and we mentioned this briefly, just for guys who missed it earlier, Kirby is not going to do something because you want him to do something, as far as media pressure, national media, us. But I do think he basically suspends Trevor Etienne without saying he suspended Trevor Etienne. Because he dresses, but he doesn't play. So Kirby, again, there's a message to the rest of the team, but he's not going to give the media the satisfaction of even going down that road.
No, and he didn't confirm this last week. Like, that was the thing. He got asked, but it was like, we'll see. And everybody we talked to leading into this game was like, I don't think he's playing. What's up, Poe?
During the broadcast, Molly McGrath asked him about that. And Kirby even went so far to say is that this might not even be a one-week thing. Mm. This might be something that continues. So he didn't even confirm that it was just this for this one week at all.
All right. So Trevor Etienne dresses, warms up, does not play. Here's the deal. Dog still dominated on the ground. 169 yards, 6 yards a pop. And Mike, for me, freshman running back Nate Frazier, dog. And I mean, pardon the pun. He's a dude. 11 carries for 83 yards and a touchdown. I thought the run game looked good despite not having Etienne. And what's it going to look like when he gets there? Because everybody I've talked to said he's a difference maker.
Yeah. Now, he's a rock star. But he paid his penance. You know, a lot of folks, and I thought it was right. I think it's the right thing to do when nobody seems to be getting the message about doing stupid stuff in a car. Even though we've all done it, it doesn't matter. There's been different sets of circumstances. People lost their lives at Georgia. Guy's going to make better decisions. So that's now turn the page on that one. But I love the stat that Rusty Manziel, who you hear on the Steakhouse, sent us earlier about the depth. Clemson played 16 players on defense. That's it. The entire game on Saturday.
It's a lot of snaps.
UGA played 31 guys on defense.
Yeah. Well, you wore them down, and that's why the score ultimately was what the score was. I just thought Georgia was better coached. Say what you want about Dabo. Listen, you're not going to take the 16 and 18 championships away from him. But I said this weekend. I think the game's passing him by. This whole portal thing is a joke. And more importantly, Mike, whatever they're doing offensively is not working. This team has looked inept offensively going back to the last couple of seasons.
It's the same thing that happened to Bobby Bowden in the end. He lost his core assistants. He lost the guys that were better defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators. He has not replaced that staff. And he's just, like, he's just being too stubborn. Now, they got through that first half. You know, it could, like, the Clemson, they got no one to blame but themselves. How many false starts, holding penalties, all those procedure things? Clemson just played undisciplined football. Like, I know there's mistakes in week one, but you knew that if Clemson had any chance against Georgia, they had to be letter perfect.
Malachi Starks, by the way, makes an incredible pick. I want you to hear what Kirby said, because he played defensive back, played with some great players, and he's coached some great players there. Not only at Georgia. We forget Kirby was at Alabama when they won all those championships. Okay, he's seen great players. This is what he said about the Starks interception.
I do think the play I saw him make today may be one of the best defensive football plays I've ever seen live in person. I've seen a lot of them on TV, but that one, you know, he twisted and contorted his body, and how he could find the ability to go find that ball and get it is it's pretty special.
Yeah, I just think from where I'm at and watching this game and watching Georgia fans react, it just shows you how locked in they are. Clemson has lost its way. Florida State has lost its way. I think Florida has lost its way. It just shows you what Kirby has been able to do in that step and how mentally locked in. I'm not that guys, we take this for granted. It is a big part of the game. There's so many distractions going on, especially now, Mike, when I can be on my phone and play a game on the computer and do all these different things. These guys were locked in Saturday.
Right. You know, I said this to Carl earlier, and real quick, congratulations to Brent Key. There was no letdown against Georgia State. There was a goal line stand. Played some really tough. You knew there was just going to be a natural letdown. It's human nature to come off the high of that big victory in Dublin over Florida State. And again, just real quick, because I was over there, the physicality, the run game, the great play action, everything worked. And yes, Haynes King is better than DJU, hands down. And you touched on it earlier. And then Bill O'Brien saw it and said, I can do the same damn thing with my guys. Because I got a better offensive line. They're tough. Florida State's defense lost Jared Verse. Supposed to be really good. Either they're believing their own hype. Linebackers look like they've never seen play action. Guys are wandering around looking like they don't know where they're supposed to be. The arm tackling. How many broken tackles has FSU allowed in these two losses? And now your season's done. Unless you run the table, and you know, now you got to hope that Georgia Tech loses. Miami right now is only one game, but Miami looks like the best team in the ACC.
I agree. And by the way, Georgia Tech, congratulations in the top 25 AP poll. They're ranked 23rd. Can I hear Haynes King throwing that touchdown in the fourth quarter? It made it 34-12. That was the final score. Actually, 35. They kicked the field goal. This is courtesy of the ACC Network.
Crowd is booing the replay on the video board. Here's King. He wants to cut it loose. Sets. Now shoots it across. This is Boyd at the 10. Avery with a full head of steam. Did he hit the pylon? He did. Touchdown, Georgia Tech.
Yeah. Hey, just great stuff. Now they got as Wes, you'll hear a conversation with Wes Sturm coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Syracuse, they're trying to turn that boat around and get more physical, and they're supposed to be fundamentally sound. So see where that one goes. Also, Travis Hunter, one-man gang, Georgia boy, did some amazing things. How about the catches we saw this weekend in the first week of college football?
Very impressive. This wide receiving core, I don't know who's coming out, but the receivers that look like they're going to be leading the way in college football, Mike, listen. Ohio State has a freshman. He may be the best wide receiver in the country, okay? Alabama has a 17-year-old wide receiver that skipped his last year of high school because he crushed it, and he may be one of the best wide receivers. Yes, I'm just telling you, there are a multitude of guys around the country that I was wowed by.
Well, right now, how does this make you feel about Georgia football? I mean, the state of Georgia itself. Arguably the best college football player right now is from Collins Hill. Because, I mean, if you didn't see the game, Travis Hunter played 70 defensive snaps, 40 routes, unbelievable catches. You know, it's incredible. Now, look, I don't know if Deion can sustain this because that's against North Dakota State. They got to get it right for Nebraska this week. But, man, you touched on it. Kirby's got a culture. Brent Key is establishing a culture. Bill O'Brien brought that NFL mindset to Boston College. Florida State season is going down the drain, and you've got to depend on guys to show leadership. Mike Norvell just spoke, Carl, said they need leadership. From who? The only reason these guys are here is you spend more money on them. Yeah. That's why the transfer portal, if you rely so much on it, that's not sustainable.
Jeremiah Smith is the kid's name at Ohio State. Ryan Williams, true freshman out of Mobile, is the kid at Alabama, Mike. He's 17. Right. And he's a bowler.
Oh, and by the way, Brian Kelly throws his own team under the bus, including his quarterback, Nussmeier, in the loss. Stay classy, coach.
All right, guys, coming up, we're going to talk Braves. We needed 3 or 4. We got 1. What's it mean as we head into this series with the Rockies? Grant McCauley next.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
If you want to hear an insane story, go to the Odyssey app and rewind Guy Talk in the 4 o'clock hour. It's something you won't believe. Grant McCauley is here. Let's talk some Braves. The Braves lose 3 of 4. Grant, we needed to win 3 of 4. We win 1. That was on Saturday night. And I just want to start there. Freed pitched great. 7 innings, 3 runs. Wheeler goes 7 innings, 4 hits, 0 runs. And then Money Harris makes maybe the catch of the year, but it gets back to, you know, we just couldn't score. And then last night, you know, you get to 10 runners, 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. That's our downfall, Grant.
Yeah, those things aren't going to get the job done for sure. And it, once again, I mean, starting pitching has been doing the thing, as the old saying goes. I mean, they're 20 or 21 starts now with 3 earned runs or fewer in a row. So 21 consecutive starts. That's an incredible run for Braves starting pitchers. And, yeah, they're not all 6, 7, 8-inning starts, but it has been consistent. And that's something that Atlanta has been able to at least count on. But offensively speaking, you're right. I mean, there were so many missed opportunities on Sunday night. You needed to get out of there, no worse than a split, but needed really the series victory in this one, and it just didn't happen. And the game one loss, I think, is probably the most frustrating, but if there's a runner-up, it was definitely the Sunday night game, because there were chances, if you could execute, to have snuck out of there winning the finale of that series.
Grant, we don't often criticize Snick, because I think, you know, I shut up doing that after the 21 postseason, but I just, the Morton thing, I mean, I know there's a million games going back to the Colorado blown, all that, but the Morton thing kind of irked me over the weekend, because that seemed like it was time to get him out of there against Marsh.
Yeah, I can understand that, and I kind of looked at it, you know, like with the Spencer Schwellenbach decision on Sunday, I would have just kept riding with my starting pitcher there because of the pitch count, because he had been so dominant, and because the couple of hits he did give up were weak base hits. It wasn't like he was ever getting hit hard at any point in that start, and he felt like maybe he'd be able to get out of it. But to your point, and on the flip side of that coin, with Charlie Morton, you know, kind of tiptoeing in and out of trouble, and then finally feeling like he was on the ropes, the pitch count had elevated, and I know he'd struck out Brandon Marsh a couple of times, and I know that that's why Brian Snitker liked that matchup, and I also know that that was, as things go, let's just call a spade, a cheap home run, but it was a home run, and it was costly for the Braves in that case, and since you had Aaron Bummer up and had the opportunity to go lefty-lefty with the pitch count where it was, I felt like that's the move that, in hindsight, I would make. And I'm sure, as Brian Snitker said after the game, look, if I knew he was going to give up a 3-run homer, I would have made the move. But clearly, in the moment, he did not. But, I mean, it's going to be a really challenging, I think, trek through the month of September. I mean, it's already been challenging because you want to, and you're treating all these games and all these series as must-win, but you can't blow these guys up by pitching them 3, 4, 5 days in a row, or, you know, 24 times before the season's over in the bullpen. So there's a certain amount of calculus to that, and I know that that may not sound like a very fun response, but it is difficult to manage, whether in hindsight or foresight, to keep everybody healthy and to know who truly is available on a given night. And the Braves really did go for it in that Minnesota series, and it paid off. They swept the Twins, but I think some of that was the lingering effect in game one of the four against the Phillies.
We're talking with Grant McCauley, guys, about our Braves. They go up to Philly. It was a big series. You got to focus on what's in front of you. The Rockies are here. Chris Sale going tonight. Listen, these next two series, and again, I'm not going to get out in front of myself here, but should win these series, Grant. We should win these series.
You definitely need to. I mean, you need to win this series against the Colorado Rockies, a team that stole a series from you at Coors Field not long ago. I mean, things have got away there. This is a little bit more of a pitching-friendly environment, and they've got Chris Sale on the mound in Game 1. That's always a good way to go ahead and get yourself started with a victory. But, yeah, they've got to do it here against Colorado. They need to do it again against the Toronto Blue Jays after that. Then they've got that one-game makeup against the Reds, who had taken the first two games of a three-game series earlier this year. So you need to get back into that one. And the Braves have done very well against 500 or better clubs this year. They ended up winning the season series against the Phillies. I know it doesn't feel like it after losing 3 out of 4, but they've played well against winning clubs. It's the teams that they should be beating that they've had some trouble with, whether it's the Rockies or the Reds or the Nationals. I mean, splitting series with the Marlins that you should really be taking after they just dismantled what was their club prior to the trade deadline. There's been a lot of frustration against some of the, I'll call them, lesser opponents. Braves can't overlook anybody. They need to win every single series that they can. And I think that this is a prime example and a prime opportunity right here for the Braves to if you were feeling some kind of way about the Philly series, to put it behind you as quickly as possible and get back on the winning track, because not only do you have the New York Mets breathing down your neck in the wild card, separated by just one game now, but now you've also got, or a game and a half, I guess, but you've also got the Chicago Cubs pushing themselves into the forefront of the wild card discussion. So it could be a pretty crazy finish here in that wild card race in general.
Grant McCauley with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. I saw your tweet about Ozzie. Give us, for the guys who didn't read it, tell me about Ozzie. Where is he at? What's the timeline?
Yeah, we caught up with Ozzie before the game, and while he is feeling good and no longer has to wear any kind of brace or protection for that wrist and has now begun doing a little bit more of those baseball activities, he said that it is going to be toward the 8-week recovery time rather than the brace we're hoping, maybe 6 weeks, and they have him back on the field. The injury, for those you know who remember, was the 21st, I believe, of July, so he's at, what, 5.5 weeks? At this point, and feels like it's going to be a couple of more weeks before he's really able to do everything and can start to feel like there is a timetable for his return. He still has not hit yet against live pitching, just taking swings in the cage off a tee. So not a lot yet has been accomplished for him to really have all the boxes checked to where the Braves feel comfortable enough to send him out on that rehab assignment, because he's also going to need some at-bats to get himself back and ready to help the Braves out. But he's feeling good, eager to get back, but there's just the early timetable he was hoping for is just not a reality.
I don't know if you thought it was the best catch of the year. I did. Grant, the Money Harris catch on Saturday night, Mike and I were talking about it earlier. I mean, like, I haven't seen anything close to that this season. Anybody come close to what he did?
No, I'd have to really sit down and pour through some highlights. I mean, there's obviously some, you know, games that we may not have, you know, watched and been too privy to or whatnot. But as far as the Braves are concerned this season, as far as Michael Harris is concerned in his young career, that one's going to go way up towards the top. I know, I mean, the play that he made in the division series last year to start the game-ending double play, that may be the top because of the situation it was in. But just pure athleticism and tracking a ball down over the wall, that is about as good as it gets. And Michael Harris, I mean, even if he's not been able to start swinging it at the plate the way you've needed him to, he's come in and stabilized the Braves' outfield defense, and that was a huge gaping hole that the Braves needed somebody to come in and fill. And really, only Michael Harris could do it, and plays like that remind you.
It's our man Grant McCauley. We've been talking the big picture, Grant, the existential question. If we don't make it this year, do you just say, sometimes the Braves beat the boys? I mean, you just got to say, look, there's just too insurmountable many injuries to ever overcome this season. Or do you say,
I think so.
Or do you say, with the pitching in a best of three, at least we can maybe sample, I mean, salvage, I should say, something, beat the Brewers and steal one.
Yeah, no, I mean, both of those things could be true. I mean, as we look back on this season, there's no way to not factor into the accounting of this whole season what injuries did to this club and what it may have kept this club from being able to do. Now, on the other side, the pitching has been the thing that has carried the Braves to this point this year. They have the second best ERA in baseball, best ERA in the National League. The problem is that they just have not been able to score runs. They're right in the middle of the pack, even though since the All-Star break, they have become one of the best home run hitting clubs in the majors again. They're just not doing it with enough guys on base. So that could kind of speak to the loss of, I don't know, Ronald Acuna Jr., Austin Riley, Michael Harris, Sean Murphy, and others who have spent, Ozzie Albies, that have all spent this time on the injured list. But you've got to figure out ways to, I think, string together some at-bats and to produce in ways that don't involve home runs. And this just hasn't been a lineup that's been able to do a lot of that. But I think it's the injury that, on top of everything else, has been really difficult to overcome. And like Brian Snitker said a couple of weeks ago, it's getting hard to find the next man up when you get to this particular point.
All right, Grant, we'll see what happens tonight. I feel good because Sale's on the hill, and he's just been great. But hopefully we can, you know, get some runs here and score. I mean, again, the game on Thursday where we won or we blew a 4-0 lead, right? And then, you know, you score seven on Friday with multiple home runs, and then we didn't score on Saturday, and then, you know, we left all those guys on base. We got to find some consistency there, and that's going to be the key no matter what happens over these next 30, 35 days.
You think the Mets are going to get anything together? Are they capable of making the kind of run we just did before the Philly series?
I mean, the Mets have been on a run really since after they stumbled out of the gate and lost their first five games of the year, and then they stumbled all the way, I think, through the month of May. But since June 1st, I believe, if I remember right, the Mets have won 50 games, the Braves have won 42 over that same stretch. So they have played a better amount of, or better quality baseball than the Braves have for over a couple of months now. So you can't overlook anybody. I mean, they're definitely motivated, because who was expecting the Mets to do much this year after all the retooling they had to do and all the pitchers and faces that they said goodbye to last year that were supposed to be part of this big grand thing that Steve Cohen had built. So the Mets, as much as anybody, can look around that clubhouse and say, why not us? And the same thing with the Cubs. So for the Braves, it's going to be the focus. And Brian Snitker said it again before the game. We got to win today, then we got to come in tomorrow and do the exact same thing.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, Grant. We'll talk tomorrow. We'll see what happens tonight. Grant McCauley, follow him, guys. He covers the Braves, MLB, and he's our Braves insider. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
All right. By the way, Chris Sale is looking for his first career win against this team. He's never gotten them.
Really?
Never gotten them.
I guess mostly in the American League.
Colorado.
Yeah, a few chances you're playing up there in the mountains. So, yeah.
And he didn't play last month when they beat us in that series. He did not pitch. So, he is still looking for his first career win. Hopefully, he gets it tonight. All right, coming up. Oh, Steelers get some good news. I was hoping this wouldn't happen, but it has. And also, the 49ers get some good news. It is, have I mentioned, game week. We're going to talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.